I clutch my phone to my chest, struggling to breathe around the sharp pain that's stabbing me in the ribcage. What the hell kind of party is this? Eventually, my phone chimes. Ren, can you just meet me in the gazebo in an hour? It'd be easier to explain this in person. Me, okay. My heart beats hovering somewhere around the 130s. I can't believe after all of the time we've spent together, and Ren telling me that he's in love with me, and all the promises we made to each other in that stupid fucking country inn, he's pulling this shit on me now. Horrifyingly, it feels like I'm about to get broken up with or something, and I don't think I can take hearing that right now. I get up from the bed where I was watching TV on my laptop, and I begin pacing the floorboards back and forth, back and forth, back end. I stop in front of the window, peering out into the darkness. There's already a light on out there in the maze, just the faintest glimmer shining through the boughs of the live oaks. But it's there. I see it plain as day, which means Ren's already at the gazebo. So why then did he tell me to wait an hour to meet him? Jesus fucking Christ. I'm probably blowing this way out of proportion, but I'm not waiting a goddamn hour to find out what's going on if I don't have to. So help me, I'm going down there and I'm finding out what the hell is going on. Unlike the first time I ventured into the maze, tonight the air is calm and still. It's even warm enough that I've come outside without a jacket. It's much brighter, too. The sky's clear, and the moon is almost full. It casts so much light down onto the grounds of the academy that I'm able to navigate a path through the high walls of the maze without losing my way at all. My ears roar from the silence as I approach the gazebo. I've planned a litany of abuse that I'm going to hurl at Ren if I find him sitting in here with his nose in a book. I haven't let myself consider what course of action I'll take if I find him in here with another girl. I know he wouldn't do that. I know it like I know the sun will rise in the morning and the world will keep spinning on its axis. This awful feeling that keeps churning around in my stomach won't give me any peace, though. Why didn't he answer the question I asked him in that text message? If he's not planning on messing around with other girls at this party, then why wouldn't he just say so? I'm 5 feet away from the gazebo when I'm finally close enough to see inside. And it's not Ren inside, after all. It's Dashiell. And Karina. Fuck. I duck down, and the taste of copper floods my mouth. I've bitten my damn tongue. My eyes water around the pain, but I don't make a sound. Crouching down in the bed of rose bushes outside of the window, they can't see me from inside. But now I'm stuck here. It's a miracle they didn't see me marching toward the building. Even if I squat down low and scurry back towards the entrance of the maze, there's a very real chance that they'll spy me. I am well and truly screwed. Voices float out of an open window into the still night air.
You don't have any right.
It's Karina's voice, and it sounds like, ah, shit, it sounds like she's crying. Fuck, this is the last thing I need, to get busted eavesdropping on this conversation. At least it sounds like she's giving him hell for messing in her relationship with Andre. You're right, and I'm sorry, Dashiell murmurs. The acoustics inside the gazebo must be ridiculously good. His voice is low and deep, but I can hear him perfectly. I have really got to get out of here. I just don't want any of this coming back to hurt us down the line, okay?
Huh, dick. He's got a funny way of showing her he cares.
If he didn't want anything coming back to hurt him down the line, he shouldn't have arranged for Karina to walk in on him while he was getting his dick sucked by another girl. That would have been a great start.
The cops need to know, Karina says. This, what you're asking me to do, it isn't fair, Dashiell. There have got to be consequences. He can't just,
She's crying now, crying hard enough that she's choking on her emotion.
He can't just be allowed to get away with it again. What if he hurts someone else? What if he hurts Elodie?
Everything stops. My heart, my brain, all cognitive thought.
What the hell did she just say? He's dangerous, Dash. You know he is. We can't allow someone else to suffer because of him. Not because we're too chicken shit to speak up, for fuck's sake.
Look, you have no idea what you're talking about. How can you know she wasn't high when she wrote that? She was out of her mind 90% of the fucking time. Mercy saw to that. Just throw it into the fire and let's just wash our hands of this whole thing.
But Elodie...
I know she's your friend, Carrie, but I don't know the girl. If you care about her so much, then make sure she stays the hell away from him. Shouldn't be too hard. He'll forget all about her soon enough, and then you won't have to concern yourself with her safety anymore.
How can you be so cold? How can you be so detached from this?
I hear Dashiell sigh. The only person I care about is you, Karina. I think I've made that abundantly clear. If you don't want to hear that, then that's your business. I get it. I fucked up. We can deal with that another time, though. Now give it to me. What the hell does he want from her? And what the actual fuck are they talking about? I risk a peek over the top of the rose bushes, but all I can see is the tops of their heads. Karina's crying grows louder.
Fine, here, Lord Lovett. You always get your way, don't you?
I've never heard such bitter hurt in her voice. Not even earlier when she told me that Andre had dumped her via text.
I have no idea why you're protecting him like this, she says. He's not your friend. You know that, right? He might act like it, but he just uses people to get what he wants.
Maybe you're right, Dashiell agrees. But high school's nearly over, Carrie. We'll all be going off to follow our own paths in life. I'll probably never see him again. Until then, I have to see him all the fucking time, and I'm not risking him opening his mouth and blabbing to everyone about what went down that fucking night.
Oh my God, what are you going to?
Karina's startled gasp cuts short. She whimpers, and the sound is so heartbroken and mournful that I want to run in there and comfort her. I can't, though. This exchange between them is most definitely private. And I'm worried that it also might be somewhat illegal. I'm so confused, but Karina mentioned my name and... The door to the gazebo flies open. Karina races out into the night, and I see that her face is streaked with tears. She wraps her arms around herself like she's doing her damnedest to keep herself together. Thank God, mercy of mercies, she's facing away from me and she doesn't see me scooting back into the bushes like a fucking criminal. Karina, wait. Dash emerges from the gazebo, slamming the door closed behind him. He goes to my friend, placing a hand on her shoulder, turning her to face him.
We've all made mistakes, okay? Big ones. I don't think we should have to keep on paying for them like this.
She sniffs, wiping her nose with the back of her hand.
Are you talking about what he did or what you did to me?
For a moment, Dash doesn't say anything. I think he's going to let her walk away without an answer from him. But then he stumps up the courage, looking up at the sky, and he nods.
Yeah, I'm talking about what I did to you. I hate it, okay? I hate that I hurt you. I let things spiral out of control, and I took a wrong turn. I've regretted it every single day since then. When are you going to forgive me?
Karina, poor Karina.
She blinks at him, her profile painted in silver by the moonlight.
When are you going to learn that your position in life doesn't automatically entitle you to a do-over whenever you fuck up?
She looks like the saddest person in the world as she walks away from him. That is, until Dashiell's shoulders slump and his head drops, a weary, dejected sigh working free from his lips. Then he claims that title for himself. He goes too, disappearing into the opening of the maze, leaving me alone, my thighs burning from my awkward, contorted position in the bushes. It hurts like a motherfucker when I stand, straightening out my legs one at a time. What the fuck did I just witness? They might as well have been talking in code. There was so much I didn't understand. I did gather quite a bit of information, though, and troubling information at that. Something bad happened. Something that Karina and Dashiell were involved in. And Karina is worried about it happening to me, too. A cold, dead fist closes around my heart. I go into the gazebo, pins and needles prickling all over my body. It takes all of a second to see the book sitting on top of the burning logs in the fireplace, flames licking over its tan leather-bound cover. I singe my fingers pulling it out. It's only when the book flips over, landing with a flat clap onto the floor in front of me, that I realize what it is. It's Mara Bancroft's journal. 37. Mara. June 5th. Words can't describe this feeling. If someone held a gun to my head and forced me to explain what's going on inside me right now, I'd tell them that I'm happy and scared. Really, really fucking scared. Mom called and told me I shouldn't be getting involved with boys right now. She wants me to focus on my work, keep my head down, and concentrate on my grades. Huh, yeah, right. What the fuck does she know about real life? She's so caught up in her own shit that she doesn't have a clue what it's like to be here, trapped in this place, with nowhere to go and no one to talk to. Poe understands. Poe knows exactly what I'm going through. He's been here far longer than I have. He's the only one who listens. If I didn't have him, I don't know what I'd do. Karina thinks I'm crazy for getting involved with him. She thinks he's too broken to feel anything at all. But I've experienced things with him she can't even begin to imagine. The closeness, the way he makes me feel when he tells me that he loves me. He's not who people think he is. There are times, though, times when he looks at me like he wants to pull my soul right out of my body. Those are the times that make me panic. He'll be at the party, of course. We have to pretend like there's nothing between us. He'll drink and have fun with those stupid fucking Riot House boys, and I'll have to fake it. Make out like he didn't meet me this morning in our secret place and fuck me senseless. I know he's troubled. I know he's not a safe bet and nothing good can come from this thing between us. But it's so hard to remember that when he's inside me, kissing my neck, whispering my name. If Karina knew how sweet and gentle he was with me, she wouldn't say the stuff she does about him. She'd be on my side. She's my friend. She's supposed to be on my side. That's the most infuriating thing about this. You're supposed to be able to tell your friends anything. I just hope he doesn't hurt me. Sometimes, when I'm lying in his arms, I feel like he might do something crazy. His mood swings can be frightening. June 8th. Bad day. I caught Poe looking at Damiana. He says he's not interested in her, that he'd never touch her no matter what. But I know the look I saw in his eyes. He looks at me like that all the time. She was flirting with him after class, Such a fucking whore. She'd do anything to fuck him, to take something that belongs to me. If things were different, I wouldn't have to worry about this shit. One day, we'll be able to be open about how we feel, and no one will stand in our way. I just have to be patient. If the guys at Riot House find out about us, there'll be hell to pay. June 9th. I can't do this anymore. I want to go home. But Mom's so fucking delusional. She thinks I'm overreacting, and I just need to distance myself from the situation. But how can I do that when he's always there? In the halls, in my fucking classes, always looking at me, watching me like I'm something he wants to eat. He hurt me today. I accused him of messing around with Damiana, and he pinned me against the wall. He put his hand around my throat, and for a second, I could see it in his eyes. He wanted to snap my neck. For a second, he dug his fingers into my skin, and I saw the violence inside of him. It was scary. June 10th. I don't want to go to this stupid party. I know something horrible's going to happen. I can feel it in my bones. I wore the sweater to class today, the one Poe gave to me last night after I left him at the gazebo, and he flipped out when he saw me in it. He made me take it back to my room and hide it. I have no idea what's up with him, but this whole thing's starting to worry me. I'm going to go to the party, and then I'm going to leave. Otherwise, I know this is stupid. I'm stupid. But I'm worried that Poe might kill me. 38. Elodie. I sit amongst the charred pages of Mara's journal with my soul bleeding out all over the floor. This can't be fucking happening. There are so many pieces of evidence in Mara's journal that have clean taken my breath away. I'm too scared to acknowledge most of them. Poe? A hidden relationship kept secret from the members of Riot House? Karina's abject hatred for Mara's lover? The connection with Damiana? All of it. I swipe the hot, angry tears from my cheeks, trying to make sense of everything I've just read. Edgar Allan Poe is Wren's favorite poet. How many times has Wren told me we can't tell Dashiell and Pax that we're together? Karina despises Wren. And he did screw Damiana. Karina told me all about it. He fucked her a month before I showed up at Wolf Hall. Does it make sense that he'd been interested in her for a long time, only to get bored of her once he'd had her? Mercy already implied that Wren and Mara Bancroft were seeing each other, but they were fucking, and she was petrified of him? Scared that he was going to murder her. And then she just went missing out of the blue? What the hell am I supposed to make of all of this? How could I have talked myself into forgetting about the girl who used to sleep in my bedroom? What the fuck was I thinking? Too desperate to keep the only real friend I've made here, not wanting to rock the boat. I let Karina take the journal. I believed her when she said she was going to turn it over to the cops, but she didn't. She fucking kept it because she's hiding something. Many of the pages in Mara's diary are so burned they're impossible to read. The fire destroyed much of the first half of the book, so I'll never know what she wrote there. The flames left her final entries intact, though, and they paint a damning picture. I haven't heard the door to the gazebo open. I haven't heard him come inside. I go very, very still at the sound of his voice. Elodie. What a disastrous mess I must look, sitting on the floor in front of the fire. Loose pages covered in loopy blue ink scattered all over the place, the ends of my fingers black with soot. Wren stands over me, dressed in a white t-shirt and a pair of ratty blue jeans. This is the first time I've ever seen him dressed in anything other than black, and the sight of him in those clothes causes something to stiffen in my chest. He's never what I expect him to be. He always does something or says something to surprise me. I am officially taken aback by him now. I mean, Is he who I thought he was at all? Two tiny lines form between his brows as he bends down and picks up one of the pieces of paper at his feet. What are you doing, Elodie? He sounds wary, unsure, as well he should. Tell me about Mara. My voice doesn't sound like my own. Or maybe it's just that my ears feel muffled and everything seems so very far away. You were seeing her, weren't you? A strange, flat look forms on his face. He reads the journal entry on the paper in his hand, slowly shaking his head from left to right. It doesn't look like he's happy about what's written there. What's this? He asks, holding up the page. Her diary. She wasn't very consistent about writing in it every day, but she managed to get most of the important stuff down. Why don't you tell me about her? What's to tell? She was a student here. She went missing. It was all over the news. I was in Tel Aviv when she disappeared. I wasn't paying much attention to small-town New Hampshire news reports back then. Fuck, I didn't even know this place existed then. You didn't answer my question, Ren. You were seeing her, weren't you? His odd expression deepens. I told you there were girls, Elodie, before you. I'm not proud of how many girls I dated last year. I didn't think you were going to crucify me for it, though. I went out with Mara once, but it didn't amount to anything. I'm sorry, this... He shakes his head. This isn't what you think it is. This isn't what I think it is? A scathing burst of laughter rips up and out of my throat. This isn't what I think it is. Right. What is it then, Ren? Just some shit a dumb party girl made up about you? I fist a handful of the loose pages that have fallen out of Mara's journal, screwing them up in my fist. This is some pretty fucked up shit, Ren. It reads like you hurt her. It reads like you're the reason she went missing. Are you gonna tell me that you had nothing to do with this? The calm facade he's been maintaining up until now slips. Are you seriously asking me that? Jesus Christ, E, you think I killed Mara? There are too many coincidences here, little things that all tie back to you. Only an insane person wouldn't put two and two together. Elodie, he sucks his bottom lip into his mouth, his green eyes. Eyes that have been soft for me lately, turned to ice-cold flint. You have no clue what you're talking about, none at all. Then enlighten me, because I'm terrified right now. I'm starting to freak out over here because there's a strong chance that I might have fallen in love with a murderer. His jaw hardens. He's clenching so tightly that I see the tension of it all the way up in his temples. You really think that? You really think I'd do that? I look down at all of Mara's journal entries, strewn around on the floor like forgotten pieces of the past, cries for help, and I don't know what to think anymore. I don't know. In the split second it takes me to look back up at him, Ren turns his back and he leaves. Panic whips around inside me like a cyclone as I hurry back to my room. My heart won't stop thundering away. Once I've closed the door and I'm sure I'm alone, I hurry over to the windowsill and I pull up the piece of wood that conceals Mara's secret hidey hole. The day Mercy unveiled this spot and I pulled Mara's journal out of it, Karina didn't see the black box inside with the cherry blossoms painted on it, or the bundled sweater. My hands shake like crazy as I reach down and take out both items, laying them down on the end of my bed. I inspect the sweater first. It's a Wolf Hall Academy sweater, navy blue with gold lettering across the front. I've seen plenty of students wearing them in the halls. It's only when I look inside the sweater and see the two small letters inked into the label that my heart officially shatters. W. J. Ren Jacoby. I'm frozen all the way down to my core when I open up the black lacquered box and I pull out a handful of black feathers. 39. Elodie.
I make it through the next day somehow. I respond to Karina when she speaks to me, but all I see in the back of my mind is her standing with Dashiell outside the gazebo, holding her cardigan tight around her body, talking about whatever happened to Mara and her worry that it might happen to me too. She mopes and she complains about Andre, and I make all the appropriate noises. I pretend as though I'm listening, and I stumble from one class to the next, wondering what the fuck I'm supposed to do now. I'm destroyed. I don't see Ren. I don't see any of the Riot House boys. All three of them are notably missing from Wolf Hall, though no one seems to notice their absence. They're preparing for the party tonight, I'm sure. Though why none of the faculty here have made any sort of comment about their truancy is a goddamn mystery. I'm in my French class, the last lesson of the day, when Dean Harcourt comes to find me. She's wearing a look of grim determination on her face as she walks me down the hallway to her office. When she's situated behind her desk, and I've sat myself down opposite her, she clears her throat and gives me the news I've been waiting to hear ever since Ren told me about his trip to Tel Aviv. Elodie, I'm afraid I have some bad news. It would seem that... She doesn't know where to look. Your father was involved in some kind of accident, Elodie. He was out at a bar in Tel Aviv, and three men jumped him. They assaulted him in an alley and beat him pretty severely. I know this must come as a shock to you, but it seems as though he was paralyzed during the attack. I stare straight through her. Now, it was a shock to me too that this happened so long ago. Usually, we're immediately apprised if something happens to a student's family members, but for some reason, the military decided not to inform us of this, incident until this afternoon. It seems that your father's injuries were complicated due to a stroke he suffered 2 days after being admitted to the hospital. He's still alive, breathing on his own, but I'm afraid he's unresponsive to external stimuli. The doctors are working with him daily, but they're saying that he's entered some kind of fugue state. He's fully awake, but this might be hard to hear, so I apologize. But he seems to be trapped inside his own mind. Are you okay, Elodie? Do you understand what I'm telling you? I make eye contact, gripping the strap of my bag, wringing the material in my hands. Yes, I hear you. I understand. It's only natural that you'd want to go and be with him, Elodie. I can see just how traumatized you are by this news. But he's currently being cared for at an army facility, and they've said that because you're a minor, there's no way you can go back to Tel Aviv by yourself. Your father signed guardianship over to us here at the school while you're studying with us, so I'm afraid you're going to have to stay here until Colonel Stillwater recovers well enough to leave the hospital. I know that's probably the last thing you want to hear, but I'm asking for your help with this. I sincerely hope you won't cause trouble because you can't. It's okay. I understand. I'll abide by the rules. I'm not going to cause any trouble. Harcourt looks relieved. She likely thought I was going to burn the whole fucking school down in my attempt to get to my poor catatonic, paralyzed father. If only she knew the truth. Well, thank you, Elodie. I don't know if you're religious at all, but I like to lean on Jesus during times like this. If you pray to him for your father's recovery, then who knows? Maybe he'll be his normal self again before you know it. I believe in science, Dean Harcourt. I'd rather know what the doctors are saying, please. Specifically, how soon he'll be back on his feet? The dean's mouth hangs slack, revealing front teeth smudged with her mulberry-colored lipstick. I'm afraid. That is to say, the doctors think that it's unlikely your father will recover fully, Elodie. It's unlikely he'll ever walk again. And if he'll come out of this fugue state remains to be seen. That's why I mentioned prayer.
It's a powerful healing tool, you see. I'm afraid that without it... She rambles on, but I've already stopped listening. How many times did she say that she was afraid? I'm afraid I have some bad news. I'm afraid he's unresponsive. I'm afraid you're going to have to stay here. Such a weird term for her to use. She wasn't afraid. She was inconvenienced, and she was concerned, and she's eager to get this matter hashed out quickly to avoid it taking up any more of her time. I, on the other hand, have been afraid for a very long time. This news changes all of that. It's looking like I won't have to be afraid of my father ever again. And that's all thanks to Ren. I've floated through the day, so numb and detached from my surroundings, that I haven't taken a beat to analyze whether I'm afraid of him now. Worryingly, I don't think that I am. 40. Elodie. When I head back to my room, my bedroom door's wide open. And there, sitting at the end of my bed, is Mercy Jacoby. She looks so out of place perched on top of my dusky pink comforter, but she seems to have made herself perfectly at home. She beams like a Cheshire cat when she sees me in the doorway. "Before you start, I didn't touch anything," she says, holding out her hands in a placating gesture. "I just wanted to drop off your costume for tonight." I scowl at her. It seems like the safest thing to do. Costume? I don't have a costume. "Ren bought one for you, silly." She jerks her head in the direction of a black and gold garment bag hanging from the back of my closet door. "I was at the house earlier, dropping off some booze and ice, and I saw my darling big brother punch a hole right through his bedroom wall with his bare hands. Seems he's quite upset. Wouldn't happen to know anything about that, would you?" God, she is good at this. All of the pretending. I suspect she knows all about me and Ren, and yet she's still feigning ignorance. I have no idea what's up with him. Whoever knows what's up with Ren. He's permanently pissed, I say. Mercy's smile is faker than her perfect white teeth. Shame. Nothing makes me sadder than trouble in paradise. Fair enough, though. You both want to be broody and miserable. That's entirely up to you. I'll leave you to try on your costume in peace. I don't need the costume, Mercy. I'm not going to the party. Oh, no, you have to. Everyone's going. You want to be the only person on your entire floor sitting in your room like a sad sack while everyone else has an amazing time? Karina isn't going, I say defiantly. Mercy smirks as she gets up and waltzes out into the hallway. Sure about that, Stillwater? Karina's all talk most of the time. I'd put good money on her attending this evening's festivities. I'm not in the mood, Mercy. Can you please take the garment bag out of my room? If Ren wanted me to have it, he would have given it to me himself. He's probably worried that if he gets within 5 feet of you, you'll freak out and accuse him of trying to murder you, she says, with a feline smirk on her face. Fuck. So she does know about what happened at the gazebo. I highly doubt that Ren told her, but who the fuck knows? I've been wrong plenty of times before, like a ridiculous amount of times. Ren could have told Dashiell, who then told Mercy. What does it fucking matter how she knows? She just does. Invite says 8, but I recommend coming at around 9 or so, she says. Helps to make an entrance when you're fighting with a guy like my brother. And holy shit, are you gonna make an entrance wearing that costume? I'm on edge as I unzip the bag, letting it fall to the ground. My heightened state of anxiety triples when I see what's inside it. This isn't some drugstore $20 costume. It isn't even the kind of expensive costume you have to order online. This is the kind of costume you have made from scratch to a list of specifications that you send to a dressmaker weeks ahead of an event. It's beautiful. The bodice is frost white and shimmering with Swarovski crystals. There's boning sewn into the luxurious fabric, as well as laces around the back, which look daunting as hell. I've never in my life worn anything so convoluted. The skirt is made of a diaphanous, silky type of fabric, layers and layers of it in blue and silver and white, so fine and stunning that I can't help but run my fingers over it. This is the most gorgeous piece of clothing I've ever seen in my life. I recognize it for what it is immediately. It's a Tinkerbell costume. I mentioned to Ren, when we were verbally sparring in the attic, that I always wanted to be Tinkerbell when I was a kid. But we didn't always get what we wanted. And he remembered? It was such a flippant, off-the-cuff remark. I can't believe he stored the information and then ordered this. It's too beautiful. It's too much. All of it is too fucking much. I've pieced together a really suspicious-looking picture of Ren's life last year, and it's so frightening and awful that I can't bear it. I'm still in love with him, and I can't make myself stop. A wickedly sharp knife plunges into my heart, grinding up against my ribs, stealing away my breath as I sink to my knees, clutching the beautiful fairy costume to my chest. This isn't fair. I knew falling in love with someone like Ren was dangerous, but fuck, I didn't expect I'd wind up sobbing into the most expensive item of clothing I've ever held in my hands, worrying that he might have murdered another girl. The girl who used to sleep in my bedroom. God, the symmetry of it all is just too fucking terrible to even think about. I lie on my back on my bedroom floor, crying at first. But I eventually end up just staring at the light flitting above my head, trying to make the high-pitched buzzing in my head quiet. It doesn't go away, though. It drones on and on, until I feel like I'm going to go mad from the incessant sound. And then I snap. I have to know the fucking truth. I deserve to know. I don't care how stupid it makes me. I'm going to that fucking party, and I'm going to get to the bottom of this once and for all. But there's something I have to do first. Stiff from lying on the floor so long, my back complains as I sit up and open the bottom drawer of my vanity. There, tucked in between my folded shirts, is the small white box that Karina left propped against my door 5 days ago. I glare down at the beautiful, raven-haired woman on the front of the box, wondering if I'll be able to fake a smile as big as hers when I walk through the front door of Riot House. I highly fucking doubt it.
41. Elodie.
The dress fits like a glove. Even when someone has your specific measurements, it's rare to find a dress that fits this well. It took a lot of effort to get into and required Press's help to lace up properly at the back. But once I have it all done up, even I have to admit that it looks amazing. I look amazing. Aside from the dress, it feels as though I'm looking at myself for the first time in 3 years when I stand in front of the mirror in my room and observe my reflection.
I like it. I think I like it, Press says, standing back, tapping her index finger against her jaw.
She's wearing a Beetlejuice costume made out of black and white stripy pajamas, a lot of black eyeshadow, and an Albert Einstein wig.
It was just a shock at first. I'm just used to you as a blonde. You know, it's weird, but dark hair suits you better now that I'm seeing it.
I dyed my hair back to my natural color in my bedroom, only briefly ducking into the bathroom to rinse it clean when the timer on my cell phone dinged. Being a brunette again feels like coming home. I've reclaimed a small part of myself that was taken away from me. Like this, I am the person I was supposed to be all along, and not the stranger that my father tried to create. Yeah, I think it suits me better too. I turn away from the mirror, collecting my invite to the party from the bed.
Want to walk down with me?
Press asks.
I was running late. I told the others to go on ahead without me.
Sure. So, Press and I walk down the hill to the party together in the dark. The driving, pounding music flooding the forests around Riot House indicate that the celebrations are already well underway by the time we reach the turnoff that leads to Ren's house. There's no need to knock on the front door. It's already yawning open into the night, like some great toothless mouth leading straight down into the pits of hell. Inside, rainbows follow me from room to room, dancing all over the walls. The Swarovski crystals on the dress catch and reflect the light, scattering bursts of color in every direction as Press pulls me through the crowded entryway. Every single student at Wolf Hall looks like they're here, dressed in all kinds of weird and wonderful costumes. I curse myself for being so short as I strain to see over the tops of people's heads. I quickly come to the realization that it just isn't going to happen. So I focus on making sure I don't get stepped on as people jump around, dancing to the blaring music. I see Rashida sitting by the fire, talking to a guy I don't recognize. She frowns when she sees me, squinting. Then she finally recognizes me and waves, pointing at her hair, giving me a thumbs up. I've never been in the kitchen before. It's huge, of course, with a giant marble island in its center, overcrowded with bottles of liquor and bowls full of food. Not the chips and salsa kind of food you'd expect at most house parties. No, there are crab cakes and vol-au-vents, deviled eggs and fancy-looking pastries. Has to be Dashiell's handiwork. I know for a fact that Ren wouldn't have ordered that shit, and I don't think vol-au-vents are Pax's M.O. either.
You want a drink? I'm gonna grab a beer, Prez shouts over her shoulder.
I give her a bland nod. A moment later, I have a bottle of Corona in my hand, the glass cold and slick with condensation, and I'm being dragged further into the melee. It isn't long before Press clutches my hand, squealing,
"There he is! Oh my God, I wish I'd worn something sexy. What the fuck is wrong with me?"
Across the room, Pax stands at the bottom of the stairs, laughing raucously at something a girl in a skin-tight black cat suit has just said. She's wearing little black ears and has whiskers drawn onto her cheeks, her cute button nose painted black.
"God damn it! Fucking Beetlejuice,"
Press moans, pulling at her black and white pajama pants.
"Seriously, I am such a fucking idiot."
"You're better off steering clear of that one anyway," I mumble into my beer.
"God, don't you start," she gripes. "You're beginning to sound just like Karina." "Oh, hey, look, there she is, Karina."
No fucking way. No way Press has just spotted Karina. But when I look over to the far side of the room, my friend's standing by one of Ren's paintings, dressed in a purple tutu and a frilly bodice, with a tiny little top hat balanced on her head. There are playing cards tucked into the ribbon on the hat and bright green feathers.
"Wow, her costume's fucking cool. She's the Mad Hatter. Come on, let's go say hey."
I tug my hand out of Press's grip, taking a step back. "No, I..." Too late. Karina looks up and sees me, and her face turns the color of ash. Worse still, the guy she was talking to turns around, and lo and behold, it's Ren. He isn't in costume. He's wearing his usual black uniform, black t-shirt, and worn black jeans. Absolutely zero effort on his part to join in on the costume competition then. His eyes widen when he sees me standing next to Presley. He breaks away from the conversation he was having with Karina, entering the crowd, pushing his way toward me. Blind panic scrambles my brain.
Excuse me, I need to find a restroom. Elodie, wait, and I'll come with you,
Press shouts after me. I'm not listening to her, though, and I'm sure as fuck not waiting. I feel like I'm stuck on a merry-go-round as I bully my way through the press of bodies. My heart won't stop slamming. It takes forever to find a bathroom on the first floor, but thankfully when I do, there isn't a line. I dive inside and lock the door behind me, leaning up against the wood, trying to catch my breath. 10 seconds later, there's a knock on the door. Elodie, it's me. Let me in. Of course he was going to find me. I had hoped it might take him longer than this, though. I need some time to think. I prepared a slew of questions I was going to ask him, but I'm groping at thin air now. The only thing chasing through my head is disbelief. Karina came to the fucking party. She swore she wasn't going to, and yet there she was, dressed up to the nines, having what looked like a very friendly conversation with the guy currently rapping on the bathroom door. Go away, Ren. Not happening. Let me in. I need to talk to you. Just give me a minute. Elodie, this is fucking stupid. Open the door. Go back to the party, Ren. I'll come and find you when I'm ready. God, please just go away. Please just go away. Please just go away. Silence on the other side of the door. Blowing out a shaky breath, I step toward the mirror, studying my reflection in its surface. Who was I kidding coming here? Thinking I could just waltz right up to him and demand answers? My heart just about shattered into a million pieces when I set eyes on him, for crying out loud, and now I'm... The door to the restroom opens quickly, and Ren hurries inside, closing it behind him. I stare at him, mouth hanging open, unable to form words. I'm sorry I did that. He winces, rubbing his hand over the back of his neck. He sheepishly holds up a quarter in his other hand. You don't need to be a master lockpicker to open up those locks, just a coin. You shouldn't be in here, I hiss. What if I'd been using the fucking toilet? You came in here to hide from me, little E. It was pretty obvious. I want to hit him hard enough to make his teeth rattle. But the expression on his face is so tortured that I stop dead in my tracks. There are dark shadows beneath his eyes, his skin extra pale, his hair extra wild. He looks like he's about to come unhinged. Elodie, I just want to talk to you. Can you stay calm for 15 fucking minutes? You had every opportunity to talk to me in the gazebo, Ren. You chose to walk away. Do you know how suspicious that looks? Yeah, well, you'd just accused me of something pretty insane, and I didn't want to say anything that might... He blows out a frustrated breath. Implicate you? I finish for him. No. Jesus Christ, Elodie, come on. I did not have anything to do with Mara's disappearance. I didn't fucking touch her, okay? Then how do you explain the diary? Everything she wrote in it pointed to you, and the sweater she had in her hiding place. She had handfuls of feathers in a box, too. Feathers exactly like the one you gave to me. Ren grimaces, running his hands back through his hair. What sweater? The Wolf Hall sweater with your initials on the label, Ren? God! He shakes his head. I don't know how she had that. I owned one of those things for 5 seconds last year and then it was gone. I didn't know what the fuck happened to it. And the feathers. Fuck, I don't know what to tell you, Elodie. She knew I collected them. Maybe she was saving them for me. I swear, I didn't leave her a single one though, let alone handfuls of them. There's so much you don't know, okay? About Mara and what went on at the academy last year. I promise I'll tell you. I'll explain every single last sordid detail. But until we can sit down and talk about this properly, please just... You have to believe me. I did not hurt her. He looks so wretched. My stomach turns over, nausea rolling through me in a wave. How the hell am I supposed to believe a single thing you say? How am I going to listen to this story you've been keeping from me and accept that it's the truth? A flat, distant look flashes over his handsome face. Because I told you, Little E, no lies, ever. I swore I'd never lie to you. My throat constricts. I'm achingly miserable. I want to believe him. I want nothing more than to hear what he's saying and trust him, but
Rand Jacoby, where the fuck are you?
A roar goes up out in the living room, a riotous yell that could only have come from Pax. Other voices begin shouting and cheering, growing louder and louder on the other side of the door. What the hell is going on? Ren presses his fingers into his eyes, huffing.
For fuck's sake. I have to go, Elodie. If I don't get out there, they're gonna break down this door. Ren! You've got 3 seconds, asshole. Show your ugly face.
Those vivid green eyes meet mine, pleading and full of misery.
Just don't leave, Little E. Promise that you'll hear me out.
Lord, what a fool I am. I waver, but only for a second. Fine, I'll hear what you have to say. But the moment I think you're lying to me, that's it. I'm walking away.
He looks so relieved. It almost hurts me to see that kind of desperate expression on his face.
He nods, grimacing deeply.
Good.
Turning, he lets himself out of the bathroom and walks straight into the chaos on the other side of the door. It's madness out there. Wolf Hall students all jostling and shoving at one another, trying to get by one another. I can't figure out where they're all going until I slip out of the restroom and stand against the wall by the front door, watching as they all flock to the foot of the staircase. Pax and Dashiell are already standing there on the steps. Ren climbs up to meet them, dragging his feet, wearing an expression so dark and stormy that he looks every inch a monster. Pax is dressed as Alex from A Clockwork Orange. Meanwhile, Dashiell's dressed much like Ren, as himself, in his regular clothes, an expensive black shirt and immaculate gray pants that look like they cost a fortune. Both Pax and Dash cheer, slapping Ren on the shoulder and back as he turns to face the crowd.
Students of Wolf Hall, the moment you've all been waiting for has arrived, Dash calls out.
Pax follows right after him.
Ladies and gentlemen, may we present to you the Master of the Hunt.
A deafening furor breaks out as everyone in the foyer loses their goddamn minds.
42. Elodie. I don't cheer. I stand stiff as a statue, watching the insanity around me with stunned detachment. 15 feet to my right, Karina emerges from the living room, biting on her fingernails. She doesn't seem as excited by what's going on at the stairs like everyone else. She's focused entirely on me.
Elodie, can I speak to you outside for a moment? She asks.
I look her up and down, recalling the way she'd sneered at Mercy when she'd told her that she wasn't coming to this party. She's lied to me more than once now, and I do not fucking like it. No.
Elle, please.
She tries to take me by the hand, but I pull away. Up on the stairs, Ren starts to speak.
You all know the deal. As Master of the Hunt, I call the shots tonight. And as always, we have a Riot House game that will either elevate your social standing for the rest of the academic year or leave you all in the gutter. Your fate rests entirely in your hands.
He sees me by the door and flinches.
Tonight's game has been crafted to root out the smartest among you. In the forest surrounding Riot House, there are a series of red flags, like this one.
He pulls a length of red material out of his back pocket, holding it up in the air.
There are 100 of them, hidden within a 2-mile radius. Collect as many of them as you can and bring them back here to base. The person who manages to bring back the most flags wins a room in Riot House for the remainder of the school year, along with a $50,000 check with their name on it.
A surprised gasp goes up amongst the crowd. The most surprising thing is the look on Dashiell and Pax's faces. This was clearly not the prize they were expecting Ren to announce.
The person who collects the fewest flags, however.
A hush descends over the gathered flock of students.
We'll become a Riot House shit kicker until graduation. You'll cook for us. You'll clean for us. You'll be the lowest of the low. The choice is yours. Live here, unchecked, unbound by pointless, stupid rules, or become our whipping boy. You don't have to play, but if you do, there will be consequences.
Well, that's new, Karina breathes beside me. Last year.
She trails off, looking uncomfortably down at her hands.
Last year what, Karina? What was the game last year?
She won't meet my eye. Not that I expected her to. Her cheeks color bright red.
Last year, everyone had to fuck as many people as they could before the end of the party. These things always involve sex. This is the first time.
She doesn't get to finish her statement. I turn my back on her, disgusted by the implications of what she's already told me, sick to my stomach and not wanting to hear the rest of it.
You have until 3 a.m., Ren shouts over the renewed hubbub of noise. Until then, happy hunting. And be warned, there will be wolves out tonight, hunting down their prey.
Pax's eyes flash murder. Dashiell's face is unreadable. I don't care about either of them, though. I only care about Ren, as he stoops down and picks something up from the step in front of him. The wolf's mask is hideous. A contorted, snarling beast's head that looks like something out of a nightmare. He slowly lowers it down over his face, and blood drips from the creature's exposed teeth. Karina makes a strangled sound.
God, looks like I was wrong.
Wrong about what? She glares at Dashiell as he picks up a mask and places it over his head.
When a Riot House boy talks about hunting down prey, Elodie, they're most definitely talking about sex.
43. Ren. Just what the fuck do you think you're doing? My back hits the wall before I get a chance to respond. Pax is in my face, glowering with open rage. You don't get to invite people to live here without clearing it with us. What the hell, Jacoby? Where the fuck is this person supposed to sleep? I laugh, because his anger just looks plain stupid on him with his bowler hat cocked at such a jaunty angle. They can have my room for all I fucking care. I'll go sleep in the back room at Cosgrove's, no big deal. You are not moving out, Dashiell hisses from the other side of the room we used to play Call of Duty. I was dragged up here by the collar of my shirt the moment people started filing out of the house to begin the hunt. What the hell's gotten into you, man? You're not the guy we started this thing with. Frankly, I don't recognize you anymore. If you hadn't thrown in that last clause with the wolf masks, there was gonna be fucking hell to pay. God, he's so fucking predictable. A Riot House party isn't a proper party unless there's a whole fuckload of anonymous sex. I wasn't going to add that part. A shove packs away, but I knew you'd both feel cheated if you didn't get your dicks wet. We're all gonna get laid tonight, Jacoby, Pax spits, you included. Laughter bubbles up the back of my throat again. What, are you gonna make me fuck a conga line of girls, seriously? Pax wheels on Dash, throwing his hands in the air. God damn it, you deal with him, I've had enough. Dashiell doesn't say anything. He stands with his hands in his pockets, watching me quietly for a second. Then he says, This is about Elodie, isn't it? I stare back at him defiantly. Yes. Of course it's about Elodie. Who else would it be about? You're in love with her. Yes. God save us, Pax roars. You are not in love with that girl, Ren. She's fucking nothing. She's just some little French whore. Pain rockets up my arm, screaming in my shoulder joint. Pax hits the ground ass first, sliding across the floorboards. In half a second flat, I'm on top of him, grabbing him by the throat, winding up to hit him again. I'm deadly calm. Say it. Go on, say it. Finish that fucking sentence. Pax throws me off him, scooting out of my reach as he scrambles to his feet. This has gone far enough. We agreed. No girlfriends, ever. Is that what you think she is, Ren? because you know neither of us are going to stand for it. I look to Dashiell, waiting for him to back up Pax's threat. He remains noticeably silent. I'm so fucking done with this. Riot House used to be a sanctuary for me, back when Dash, Pax, and I became friends, but it's been nothing more than a prison these past few months. Yeah, Elodie's my girlfriend. There, I fucking said it. And you two can either accept it with good grace and move the fuck on, or you can find yourselves rooms at the Academy post-haste. Act accordingly. I go to leave, but Dashiell grabs me by the arm. You think it's so easy to sever this friendship, Ren? It's not. There's a fucking army general in a coma on the other side of the world right now because we agreed to do something that could get us all put away for the rest of our natural lives. If not, executed in a fucking firing squad. Is that supposed to be some sort of threat, Lord Lovett? Because I've done plenty for you that would result in the same outcome and then some. And what about Mara? Pax adds. I don't give a shit about Mara. My vision's blood red. I swear to God, I'm going to lose all self-control in a minute. I take a breath, reining in my fury. Mara is not my problem. I didn't hurt her. I did nothing to her. She's long gone, and there's nothing any of us can do about it, so stop bringing her up. I'm out of the door and down the first flight of stairs when Pax calls after me. You'd better hope that girl of yours doesn't go out into the forest tonight, Jacoby. You know the rules. If she does, she's fair fucking game. He's looking for a reaction. I don't give him one. He won't fucking touch Elodie. I jog down the stairs with my stupid wolf's mask hanging from my hand, dreading the kind of trouble the rest of this night may bring.
44. Elodie. The night air is cool and crisp. The trees rustle, whispering amongst themselves as I skirt along the edge of the forest, walking up the road back toward Wolf Hall. I lasted all of 15 minutes at a Riot House party, and now I need a shower. I feel dirty. I feel tricked and deceived, and I want my mother, but I can't have her because she's fucking dead. I can keep up with you, you know, Karina mutters behind me. Doesn't matter how fast you walk, I'm not going anywhere. I really wish you would. Elodie, come on now, please. You're not being very fair. Fair? I whip around, ready to take her head off. You don't get to pull the you're not being very fair card on me, Karina Mendoza. I thought you were my friend, and you've been hiding things and keeping secrets from me this entire time. You swore you were going to take that journal to the cops. You didn't even tell me anything about Mara in the first place. You said you weren't going to come here tonight. And surprise, surprise, what did you do? You didn't tell me you were seeing Ren, she counters, her eyes hard as flint. Yeah, I know that was shitty, but I didn't feel like I could tell you. There was no reason for you to keep me in the dark about Mara, though, was there? A loud whoop echoes amongst the trees, the sound half animal, half human. Both of us stop, peering into the pitch darkness, and the hairs prickle across the back of my neck. Why would anyone run out there into the forest with no fucking lights? I mutter. It doesn't make any sense. Karina sighs. Cabin fever is a very real thing, Elle. You've only been at the academy for a couple of months, but try living here for a few years. You start to go a little stir crazy. You don't get it. If you're a student at Wolf Hall, the guys from Riot House are a big deal. They set the tone for the entire year. If you're a guy, you want to be them. If you're a girl, you want to date them. That's the way it's always been. So when they pull stupid shit like this, everyone's always tripping over themselves to join in. Is that what happened the night Mara disappeared? She was trying to join in whatever dumb game they were playing? Karina nods. Yes. So what? I'm supposed to just traipse right on in there and make a fool of myself like everyone else? Is that what they expect? Pax and Dashiell, probably. Not Ren,